10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends and fellow prisoners. I'm Nathan Leal, and I'm coming to you from the Courtyard of Truth, located outside the walls of the playground of Pretendville. And you're listening to the News from the Wall, the program where we examine the truth through the fog of darkness and deception. This is also the program where we talk about what time it is and the reality of the present season. We are in a new season, folks. It is profound. It is pivotal. And it's going to be decisive. It's a season of historical change. And in this season, every one of us will find out what our priorities are. That's what we talk about on this program, folks. The important stuff. So thanks for joining us and thanks for taking the time to listen. And my friends, if you do this, I want to give you the Watchman's Cry guarantee that it will be worth it. That is, if you have the ears to hear. If you happen to be a new listener, the website is watchmanscry.com. And on these programs, I share the warning message that every person alive needs to know about, including government agents, minions, and contractors. My friends, I answer to God and so will all of you. No one's going to get a free pass, folks. Today I'm going to give you very important information that will have you talking and discussing with your friends and your loved ones. By the way, I would like to ask you to do that. Share this program, folks. Share it with everyone, your friends, your family, your pastor. Share it because the content on this program is going to affect you. In fact, as I speak right now, whatever day it may be, things are happening behind the scenes, and those things are going to bring us a very eventful future. Folks, I can't say this enough. This program is going to explain how I know this. So if you're a new listener, welcome to the program. And if you are a new listener and you might be asking the question, who is this guy? Let me answer that. I'm just a regular person, a regular guy that God got a hold of a few years ago. That's how it happened, folks. A few years ago, I was minding my own business and God had an appointment for me, and one day he knocked me on the ground, literally, and I was crippled for a season. I went through a time in my life several years ago where I was injured and I couldn't walk, and during that season, God poured me out. He taught me a lot of things. He taught me very important things. He taught me what the right priorities are. He taught me a lot about myself, and then he began to open my eyes. You know, folks, that's the way it works. When God pours someone out, and he humbles them, and he gets them to the point where they really don't care anymore about some of the things that in the past they thought were important, like their pride or material things or reputation. When God pours out somebody, and then he refills them, they're going to think different. They're going to look at things different, and that's what happened to me. And when I was injured, it was a season that lasted about 1 to 2 years. I slowly got better, but during that season, I was in Holy Ghost boot camp where I had to relearn a lot of the things that I thought I knew about myself and about God. So as I went through that season, God opened my eyes and then he started showing me some of the secrets and the things that were going to come to this planet. He started telling me about the condition of America, the condition of man's hearts. He started showing me how things were not as they seem. And I had to go through this so that my eyes would be open. But finally, when my eyes were opened, God then said, Nathan, from now on, I want you to tell the people what I show you. And I want you to tell the people what I say to you. And I want you to share with the people what I teach you. And from here on out, it doesn't matter about your opinion. You tell them what I tell you to say. That's what Watchman's Cry is. It's a ministry to inform you and to warn you and challenge you and to enlighten you. And yes, it's true. Not everybody listens. Some people mock. But then some people also were stirred. The real sheep are stirred. You know, my friend, God is after you if you're one of his sheep, and he wants to stir you. But while the people of God are being stirred, the goats don't care. The minions of Satan don't care. But the children of God get challenged, and that's the difference. In a large sea of people, God's remnant is hiding. And there's still a lot of people out there that don't know that they're remnant. But God's waking up his remnant. And that's how it works. That's how it happens. Many people don't know that God's calling them, and then something happens to them, and they then hear a program like this one, and a spark is lit in their heart, and they know that the words are true. And many of you that are waking up, when you hear these words, you know that they're true, because you have the ears to hear. And you're on a journey, just like I am. And you want to be on this journey to find out more information. And as the journey continues, folks, have you noticed that? The appetite grows for more truth. Why is that? Well, it's because the appetite is the Holy Spirit drawing you. Because the meal is not complete with just words. My friends, there must be action. There must be a response to God. God wants all of us to have a heart change. And he wants all of his people to learn about repentance and deal with the stuff that's inside of us. And my friend, he wants to rescue you out of the mess that you're in. But in order to find rescue, you got to reach for it. You got to desire it. You got to cry out for it. Ladies and gentlemen, without repentance, you will never be in God's remnant. And without learning about repentance, you will never find victory. And without learning about the practice of repentance, you're going to stay defeated and never be able to help others. And without an understanding of the nuts and bolts of repentance, you will never be able to get a hold of God's promises, like Psalms 91, because it starts with repentance. So folks, I share a challenging message, and it's not for wimps, and it's not for pretenders, and it's not for hypocrites, and it's not for imposters. It's for those that are hungry. By the way, in the coming days, I have a lot more things to talk about regarding repentance and regarding becoming strong and regarding finding victory. Over the last few weeks, God has been showing me some things, and he's also been sharing more of his insight on how the remnant needs to find victory and the things that are weighing down the remnant. So right now I'm working on an upcoming series about how to understand all of this stuff. I'm going to be talking about some things that are very serious about how to get there. And it's going to be in several parts. And in that series, I'm going to dissect and peel open a hated and ignored topic. And this topic has to do with temptation. And it explores what it is. Have you thought about that, folks? What is temptation? Some of you that are listening right now understand its grip. You understand its power. You understand that it has the ability to get a hold of you. But why is that? Why is it so strong and powerful? How does it work? How does it sneak up on you? Why does it appear so alluring one minute, but then so disgusting the next? Why does it strangle? How does it strangle? And how can a person get victory over it? Folks, I want to talk about these things because in the final days that are coming upon this planet, God's people need to learn how to overcome. And I know that there are a lot of you out there that struggle. You don't want to struggle. You want to be more victorious than you are, but you're struggling. So we're going to talk about it. You know, folks, I'm going to share some things that most pulpits ignore and run away from. So be looking for it. By the way, if you do not subscribe to my notifications, you can go to my website at watchmenscry.com and you can subscribe. And when these programs come out, I will send you a notification through email so that you will be able to listen to it and not miss it. And I'm excited about working on that because it's going to be some good nourishing food on how to do battle with the things of Babylon. And that's what we do here on this ministry, folks. We talk about these things. We talk about what time it is, but we also talk about how to find victory, how to overcome, how to meet the challenge, how to learn how to stand. And if you see the value of this ministry, let us know, folks. Your gifts of support make it possible. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. So with that said, let's get started. As I stated a moment ago, today's program is going to be very special, and it's going to have a lot of information. I have a lot to talk about. So please listen to it in its entirety. And after you do, please do it again. Listen twice or even three times. Why? Because I'm going to share so much information that you will probably not get it all in the first session. So get a notepad, get a pen, get your Bibles, and take a lot of notes. And also, if possible, get a very large map of the United States. And also, if you're able to do it, get another map of the entire world. And you can find some of those maps. They're 2x3 or 3x4 at Walmart or Barnes & Noble. Get one of those maps, because as we progress on this program, we're going to talk about some geographical locations. We're going to look at places on the map. And we're going to look at a lot of things. I have a map in front of me. It's a fairly large one that I have drawn on. I've taken a yardstick and I've made a lot of notes on it. And I want to invite you to do the same thing. Now, you might be asking, Nathan, why? Why do we need to have a map? Here's why, folks. Because today we're going to examine the derailed trains. We're going to talk about the derailed trains that have been taking place lately in the last few months throughout the world. We're going to talk about why they're happening. And we're going to talk about what they mean. Because, folks, there is a message. And in the message of these derailed trains are token signs. Hidden token signs. Riddles. Parables. Interesting words. And if you have been listening to our previous program, and if you had the chance to read our last transcript report of News from the Wall 15B, we talked about these things. In the last program, I explored token signs. We looked at the meaning of token signs. And in the transcript, I revealed 40 pages of information that talked about this. If you didn't have a chance to read that, please go to my website and read it. It is very informative. I try to share a lot of information, so please go and read that if you haven't had the chance. And in that last one, I talked about the coming civil war. I talked about the coming race war. And also, we dissected the different ways that God uses to communicate with us, to send us his warnings. We dissected the different forms of communication that God has and how they come in the form of token signs, riddles, and parables. So when you have a chance, go and read that. But getting back to the derailed trains, in the recent trains that have been derailed, there's a message that God wants all of us to understand and discover and glean. What is the message? That's what this program is going to be about. We're going to talk about all of these things. And folks, please know this. This information that I give out is not just for entertainment. It's not just for leisure. The information that we release here at Watchman's Cry is meant to add to the layers of knowledge and understanding that the remnant must get a hold of. Because, folks, in the end time mystery of prophecy, there is a giant puzzle. There are many areas that we need to try to understand. There are many portions of prophecy where we're going to be involved in, and the way that the remnant conducts itself and the way that the remnant behaves during prophecy when God's judging the land is going to determine how we'll be judged in the afterlife. It's going to determine how we will fare. It's going to determine your scorecard, my friend. Jesus made it very clear. We're all going to stand before him, the judgment seat of Christ. And some people are going to have regrets. Some people are going to be embarrassed. Some people will try to make excuses or justify their actions. They'll say, Lord, didn't I do this or that? And folks, you know the scriptures. The Bible's clear. We're going to reap what we sow. So while the events are coming to the United States and to the rest of the world, God's people need to have an understanding of why they're coming and what God wants to see happen to his people during the events. Because the events aren't just coming just to come. The events of judgment are not just coming just to scare everybody or to spank everybody. God's not just doing it because he wants to be mean. God's doing it for a lot of reasons. And on these programs, we discuss a lot of those reasons. For the wickedness of the world, God does it to settle up and punish the wickedness. God does it to allow the reaping of the harvest of wickedness. And for his remnant, for his children, God allows it so that we can be purged, so that we can have our trials turned to gold, so that we can rediscover faith, so that we can have the opportunity to do exploits for him, so that we can have the opportunity to discover, to rediscover to come back to Him, to have our lamps full, to meet the challenge, to discover the Word working in our lives. There's a lot of reasons, folks. It's not just about reading a book of the end times and knowing one sign or five signs or 10 signs. It's much deeper than that, my friends. It's about your behavior, your outlook, your perspective, your faith, your actions, your attitude. God wants to work in all of our hearts, and since that is the case, there's a good chance that most of you that are listening to me right now are not where you want to be. Most of you aren't. There's some areas you need to improve on, and you know that. There's some things you need to work through, work on, get rid of, get victory over, get a hold of. There's a lot of work to be done, folks. And in these last days, we cannot just go along with the crowd. You cannot afford to think like everybody else, because the thinking of everybody else is the counsel of the ungodly. Psalms 1 verse 1 tells us this. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And how do we know when counsel is ungodly? Well, most of the time, it's the majority opinion. Have you thought about that, folks? If everybody is for it, then there's a good chance that it's not the right way to go. So in the coming days of the United States, as the United States is going through her metamorphosis into the new creature of Babylon that will be guided and steered by demonic hordes, we need to learn how we're going to behave. So how are you going to behave, my patriotic listening friend? Is it cut and dry? Are you going to behave how Ted Nugent tells you? Are you going to behave how all the protesters want you to behave? Are you going to go along with the crowd? And that, my friend, is one of the biggest challenges that the remnant is going to face in the future. The challenge of our behavior. The challenge of the philosophies of men. The challenge of the traditions that want to steer us, that want to steer you. The challenge of culture that wants to decide for you how to believe and how to react and what to do. Folks, right now, civil war is brewing and a race war is brewing. And it would be very easy just to say, well, it's brewing because certain races have their attitudes and my race has a different attitude, so we're going to clash. But it's much more complex, because behind the scenes are demonic tentacles, minions, and evil spirits that are pulling the strings and agitating the hearts of men. And most people don't think about that. Most people don't know this. And many people don't care, because they're just waiting for a fight to begin so that they can join in. And when it finally begins, the spirit of rabid dog and hatred will be released and infect many people. But folks, hear this. It's going to be demonic. And in my last transcript report, I went into this in great detail. So please read it and share it and glean from it. By the way, the last transcript that I just released is not just a transcript of the last program, because 50% of the content is updated and new. So if you happen to see some of the transcripts that I put out and you say to yourself, well, I heard the program, so I don't need to read it. Well, actually, most of the time, 30 to 50% of the information in those releases are updated and new. So do yourself a favor, folks, and check them out. I create those releases for you so that I can try to communicate the message that the Holy Spirit wants to be relayed to His people. And that is this. We need to get a hold of the mind of Christ. We need to seek to be wise in the things of God. Because, folks, things are not as they appear right now. I just made a new YouTube. It's called Lady Liberty and the Attack of the Vultures. And in that YouTube video is a prophetic glimpse of America's present judgment, about how America right now is being circled by vultures. Now, I'm not talking about the physical realm. I'm talking about the spiritual realm behind the scenes, and the invisible realm and the demonic realm. Demonic vultures are now circling the liberty of America. And you know why, folks? Because she's a carcass. Liberty has fallen. She's dying. And a lot of you know this. You know that changes are coming. These changes are coming toward us, barreling down the tracks. Some of the early changes have arrived, and now we're seeing the rest of them, their cousins and their family and their friends. You know, folks, I know that right now it's summer and a lot of people are on vacation. And I know that when the weather's nice, When you take a day off and go to the beach or go to the lake or go to some amusement park or go somewhere for leisure, it's very easy to forget what time it is. It's very easy to look around and say to yourself that nothing is amiss. It's easy to do that when you're on vacation, because most of the time vacations take place in an area that has a facade, that has been veneered, that has been shellacked with images of pretend and attitudes of pretend. But I want to challenge you. None of us can afford to be sleeping right now. I know that the weather's nice. I know that for some of you it's very comforting because it's summer, but winter is on the horizon and the weather's going to change. And when it does, the storm clouds are going to gather. So we need to all be working while we still can. Again, folks, this program is going to share a lot of information. And over the last few weeks, I've been watching some events happen. It's about the trains. Have you noticed them, folks? Have you been paying attention? Derailed trains are occurring. Is this a coincidence? I know that some could argue that this is nothing new. Trains are always derailing. But folks, there is a difference. There's a difference because in this season that we're in right now, God is sending us many warnings. And he's using his supernatural gifts to do it. And one of the ways that God sends his warning is through prophecy, dreams, and visions. And as a watchman, for the last few years, I've had many glimpses of things that are coming to the United States and parts of the world, but mainly the United States. And most of them I haven't published. Most of them I've kept to myself. Eventually, the United States will undergo a great metamorphosis of change and of judgment. Very dark times are ahead. I've seen the things that are coming, folks. In one dream that I had, I saw Russian soldiers corralling the people at a grade school, processing them, and everyone was in line. It was a mandatory registration. The soldiers were speaking Russian, or it sounded like Russian, and they were shoving the people. So at some point in the future, the public schools are going to be used by the occupying forces to register everybody. That means that eventually America is going to get invaded. Do I have a date for this dream? No, but that's what I saw. I had another dream where I saw starving people being fed in the food court of a shopping mall. All the stores were closed. There were no private restaurants open. It was a food court to feed everybody. But the people still had to pay. I don't know which mall it was. I don't know what city it was, but that's what I saw, folks. I had another prophetic dream that showed that pensions, your money, the money that you have saved, your retirement fund, your IRA, your 401k, pensions are going to be stolen by the government. I saw it happen. I had another prophetic dream where small banks are going to fail when the economy fails. When the economic engine of the nation falls, many banks are going to fail. I had another prophetic dream where the funding and benefits for the U.S. military were deleted. And I saw our military soldiers, our veterans, suffering in the area of housing. And in my dream, I saw military veterans go ballistic and become violent with their weapons over this. So these are the kinds of things that don't give me pleasure to share with you, because it's not right for this country to ask men and women to sacrifice their lives to serve and then treat them like garbage when they get out, or even while they're still in there, by cutting their benefits, by making promises that are then taken away. But these things are coming. So for those of you that are veterans, or if you're still enlisted, my heart goes out to you. There are some horrible things that this country is changing into. And you know, folks, who would have thought, even 10 years ago, that the days would come where the United States no longer took care of their enlisted and their veterans? Who would have thought that would ever happen? These days are coming upon us right now. I have seen this, folks. I had another prophetic dream where I saw fires burning in cities. I was in a helicopter looking down at a large metropolitan city, and fires were burning. It wasn't one big fire. It was a lot of small fires. And it appeared that the fires were caused by either uprising or riots. So I expect to see that happen. That's why I'm warning about civil war and race riots and uprising and revolt. Folks, I don't look forward to seeing these things come. I don't look forward to this. I've seen cities bombed by missiles during war. And in the future, when war finally breaks out, I expect to see certain American cities get bombed. I've talked about this in previous programs. I've made articles about it. I've done special programs about it. Folks, war is coming to this country. I've seen the coming war that's going to involve the Patriots. I've seen the coming war that's going to involve certain groups that want to rebel, want to revolt. It's going to eventually break out, folks. The fever of revolt is going to spread nationwide. It's going to start in the South, and my last program talked about that. My last transcript also talked about it. I saw in a prophetic glimpse that Arizona played a role in the uprising. Folks, I've seen too much to mention on one program, but I'm saying these things because I'm letting you know and I'm communicating with you that God does do this. God can send glimpses. God can show us things. Today we're going to talk about one of them that is happening before our eyes. And I believe that by now, if you're a regular listener, and if you heard the things that I have been sharing over the past few months, including the Hagman and Hagman program where I talked about the derailed trains, and now when we look at the events that have transpired, folks, the proof is before our eyes whether or not God can give prophetic glimpses of things that have not happened yet, because we're watching them. And these things are all in play. We're watching events right now with the derailed trains that are going to signify something even bigger. And again, my friends, I need to continually reinforce this to those that wonder, Nathan, why does God do this? Why are you saying this? Here's why. Because he wants you to know what time it is. He wants you to be warned. He wants you to get prepared. He wants you to get ready. So let's talk about today's topic. On April the 7th of this year, I had four dreams. And after I had those, I shared them on my News from the Wall program number 14, and then I shared them on the Hagman & Hagman radio program, and I also published these four dreams. So if you're not familiar with these four dreams, I've published them. You can go to my website at watchmanscry.com, and on the front page, along the right side, there's a list of programs and YouTube videos and also transcripts. And the four dreams were published on May the 16th. So if you want to read them, it's transcript 14B. I shared these dreams on there, and let me just give a little side note for the individuals out there that would try to claim falsely, I might add, that God does not give prophetic dreams in these last days, or that God does not give Nathan prophetic dreams, or that Nathan makes them up. For those people that are out there, and I'm addressing this right now, folks, and I'm not doing it to defend myself. I'm doing it to show that Satan is a liar. And if some of you have heard some of those lies, you're being deceived. But for those that would try to say that God doesn't do this, all you have to do is go to my website, pull up transcript 14B, and you will see several dreams published. After I published those dreams, here's the interesting thing. The dreams all started happening in one form or another, or the beginnings of them started happening. Let me put it that way. Because in the first dream, and I'm not going to go into reading the entire thing, but in the first dream, dream number one, there was a rebellion, an ambush involving a group of patriots who ambushed the SWAT team. The SWAT team was going to serve them with a warrant. I was there in my dream. I was watching this happen. And when the SWAT team got out of their vehicles, the patriots were waiting for them, and they shot and killed the SWAT team. And in my dream, I screamed and I hollered and I yelled. I cried. What have you done? Why have you done this? Because it was foolish. It was stupid. It was not something that real patriots would ever, ever do. However, at some point in the future, based on the dream I had, it appears that there are going to be some group that's going to do something like this. And in my dream, it was wrong. And I stated it was wrong. In the aftermath, I said it was wrong. By the way, if you are part of some patriotic group and you cannot wait to do something like this, my friend, please don't. And please know this. If anyone ever participates in something like this, first of all, it's wrong. And for anyone to participate in anything like this, it would be very foolish. And in layman's terms, let me just say it. It would be very stupid to do something like this because it would change the rules. It would change the game. It would, instead of bringing freedom to freedom-loving Americans, it's going to tighten the noose. So please do not think that anything of this sort is going to work in the favor of those who love freedom or the Constitution, because it won't. It'll play right into the hand of the present administration that cannot wait for something like this to happen, that would love for something like this to happen, because then they would have an excuse to tighten the noose on freedom, on liberties, to come up with new legislation, to cause a gun grab. There are a myriad of negative results that would come from something like this. So that was my first dream. By the way, is it possible that if an event like this did happen, it could be done by fake patriots, provocateurs? Is it possible that somehow rogue elements could get together and say, let's pretend that patriots did this and they dress up like patriots when really they're government provocateurs, thugs, contractors, mercenaries, etc., to place the blame on patriots and do something like this? Is that possible? Well, yes, it is. So when I saw it happen in my dream, were they legitimate patriots? I'm not sure. They could have been. They appear to be, but then again, perhaps they weren't. And if that's the case, and if every patriot in America that was a legitimate freedom lover, that was a true patriot, would agree that doing something like that is foolish and would never do it, but then if it still happens because some fake patriots carry out a theatrical event to make it seem so, and if that happens, folks, then instead of my dream being an appeal to the patriots and saying, you guys don't do this, then perhaps my dream is meant to be a warning that a false flag event is going to occur like that, and it's going to be blamed on patriots. And if that's the case, then, oh boy, I guess we're in trouble, huh, folks? And I guess at this point, the best thing that we can do is to continue to walk in the light of Christ and to maintain our vigilance to be as innocent as doves and to be wise. So that was the first dream that I had. And then I had a second dream where I was watching a parade of patriots, and there were thousands and thousands of them, veterans, members of the militia. They were a lot of well-meaning Americans that were fed up with the direction that the country is going. So they were marching, carrying weapons. And in the dream, it appeared that they were marching to war. They were going to face the powers that be. I pleaded with them not to, because I knew that if they did, they were going to go to their own massacre, to their own death. And then that dream was over. And by the way, a few weeks after I had released that dream, for a short season, there was an individual that came on the scene, and Mr. Adam Kokesh was on the Alex Jones program, and he went on a few other programs. He's I believe, a radio personality from New Mexico who wanted to arrange a protest on July the 4th in Washington, D.C., and he wanted thousands of people to show up and march in Washington, D.C., carrying their weapons. Most of you know about that story. But soon after Mr. Kokesh announced the open carry march, he was arrested, and then he had some bad press, and now he postponed it till next year. So he was on the radar, and then he went away. But for a short season, he was gathering momentum to get people to go, but then got delayed. It didn't happen. But it seemed that it was going to happen, and I was very concerned because that's what I saw in my dream. So I made some programs, and I appealed, folks, don't do it. Do not go to the open carry march. So does that mean the dream came and went and it was a warning and it was successful because people did not participate in the open carry march? Well, no, it doesn't, because in my dream it occurred in Arizona. I'm pretty sure that's where it was. And I'm also pretty sure that they were marching west. What does that mean? Based on the events that are happening right now, and since we have not had an uprising involving patriots, then I'm hoping that second dream is not connected to the first one, where there's actually going to be a battle take place or an ambush involving provocateurs or rogue elements or real patriots, and then it's going to cause the rest of the patriots of the country to want to join in into a new uprising or civil war, etc. I'm hoping that the two are not connected that way, but folks, at this point in time, it might appear that they are. And if that's the case, I want to warn all of you to please have the mind of Christ. Because civil war may sound romantic. It may appeal to the flesh. It may appeal to the sense of toughness, manhood, self-esteem, and pride. Folks, I know it appeals to that. It appeals to the flesh. But nevertheless, the people of God need to be wise and choose carefully. Now, if my dream's going to happen in spite of my appeals, in spite of my warnings, and nothing that I do is going to stop it, if it is destined to happen where there's going to be a revolt and all the patriots are going to march off to fight the powers that be, if it can't be stopped because Americans are not repenting, then the best thing that I can offer is that I would hope that the remnant of God do not participate in that, because it's not going to be successful. And folks, I'm not saying that to be negative. I'm not saying this because I'm on the side of the present administration. I'm not saying that because I don't think that the Patriots should try. I'm not saying it for any of those reasons. I'm saying it because the New World Order is very powerful, and their weapons are much hardier. They're bigger. They're tougher. They're meaner. Folks, the New World Order has drones. They can see through walls. They can see you from satellites. They have drones now that we probably don't even know about, that look like little birds or bugs or flying insects. There's nothing hidden from them now. So for well-meaning patriots to try to declare war against the New World Order, I ask, to what end? Do the patriots think they can win? My friends, it's not 1776. And right now, we're in a different season. The remedy is not an uprising. Because as long as America does not repent, as long as Ted Nugent does not repent, folks, did you hear me? Then any uprising is a waste of time. And it's just going to cause a lot of bloodshed. That's the warning. So that was dream number two. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I'm trying to make it clear. My last programs went into that in detail. The transcripts that I released in the past have gone into that. Folks, please know, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, verse 10, because they have seduced my people, this is talking about the false messengers and the false prophets, saying peace when there is no peace, and one builds a wall and they plaster it with untempered mortar, say to those who plaster with untempered mortar that it will fall. It will fall. What is untempered mortar? Untempered mortar is the efforts of the flesh, the efforts of man, the efforts that are not endorsed by God, the efforts that lack sackcloth and ashes, the efforts that lack repentance, the efforts that lack spiritual renewal and spiritual revival. And as long as the patriots leave that out of their equation, none of their efforts are going to work, folks. I'm sorry. By the way, folks, write this down. Ezekiel 13:13. Interesting number, 13:13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger, and great hailstones in fury to consume it. Well, what's going to get consumed? Verse 14. Here it is. So I will break down the wall you have plastered with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground, so that its foundation will be uncovered and it will fall. And you shall be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, the foundations of the United States are falling. They're crumbling. The pillars of the United States have fallen. They have crumbled. I've talked about this in previous programs. That's the spiritual element that cannot be ignored. And we cannot get away from those things. Untempered mortar on falling and crumbling foundations will not rebuild America. And that's why I get frustrated when I read the blogs and the articles and the writings by patriots who may say some things that sound poetic and inspiring about rescuing America, but they leave out repentance. They leave out spiritual renewal. They leave out the spiritual aspect, the spiritual perspective. They leave out the sin and the dark things that have brought us to this condition that we're in. And folks, as long as those people continue to write their fancy articles about how they're not going to stand for it, they're going to lift up their fists and say, come and get it, try to take my gun away, etc., etc. Folks, those are empty words of the counsel of man. They are words of untempered mortar. Those are words standing on a crumbling foundation. I know that my words right now go against that tide, but so be it. This is the message from the Holy Spirit. Folks, I can talk about this forever, but I need to move on. After I had the second dream and we saw Mr. Kokesh attempt to have a protest, but then he canceled it, I started getting a lot of emails from many of you. Nathan, this is what you talked about. Now he wants to do it. Well, I didn't want him to do it. And I know that you didn't want him to do it, so it got stopped. Let me throw this in. What are the odds that I had a dream about it and then it was on the news in front of all of us? Was that a coincidence? I don't think so, folks. The prophetic warning is real. God does this so that you can know that he's real. And if he's real, then the events are real. And if the events are real, then you got to get out of the mess you're in. Some of you need to quit goofing off. Some of you need to wake up. Some of you need to quit playing games. Nathan, you sound harsh. No, I'm telling the truth. Some of you are playing around with your life. Some of you are making a mockery of the things of God. Some of you deny God. Some of you don't believe in God. And if that's the case, either one of two things will happen. You will find him, you'll repent, or you'll deny him and be a part of the fodder and the statistics, and for some, the body count. Folks, there's no way to sugarcoat this message. We are in a very desperate time right now. The days are dark. The days are evil. The days are unsure. America's falling apart. America has been taken over by demonic hordes from hell, by evil spirits that have come in. There's a spell in the White House right now. God allows the destroyer to arrive when he judges the land. Folks, that's what's happening. And he wants to warn all of us. He wants to warn you. He wants your loved ones to wake up. But how many are listening? And the remedy needs to be radical. For some of you that are struggling, for some of you that can't seem to get it together, for some of you that are trying but you're still failing, for some of you on the edge of the boundaries, there's only one remedy. We got to get radical, folks, radical change towards God. So I had the second dream. There was a patriotic march. And then I had a third one. Dream number three, I'm going to share in the rest of this program. I'm going to spend a lot of time on it. A lot of time, folks. So I'll come back to that one. But dream number four, I haven't talked about much. On the Hagman program, I shared it a little bit, but there's still some elements that I don't know if I'll ever be able to share. So I'm not going to share them. But I saw some things that are going to happen to the future of this country. That when it happens, if it happens in the way that I saw it, it leaves me with a lot of questions. But one thing's for sure, it's going to change history. It's going to change this nation. It's going to change everything, folks. Everything about the United States. Dream number four, I'll share these sanitized parts. And folks, please don't write me and ask me what the other ones are, because I can't tell you. Well, then why did God share it with you, Nathan? Why did God show you? So that I can get a fire stirred in my heart to try to warn everybody that the clock is ticking, the days are numbered, the sands and the grains of the hourglass eventually will run out for this country, for your time to work and gather and get ready and get prepared. That's why. When I had my fourth prophetic dream, there were people protesting the government. They were very angry. It was occurring at night, and the protesters were all standing on the tarmac of an airport. There were hundreds of them on the tarmac alongside an airplane, a jet. The jet was Air Force One. The people were gathered together, and they were angry, and they had lights in their hands. In one hand, they had lights, and the lights were not flashlights. They weren't electronic. They were torches with fire. I've wondered about that. Why didn't they have electrical lanterns, flashlights, battery-powered lights? I don't know, but they were torches. And in their other hand, they had swords. But these weren't long swords. These were short swords, about a foot long, short ones, 12 inches long approximately. And they were all waving them in the air. And they weren't waving them in a way that they were charging to try to get on the plane. They were just holding them up as a sign of protest. They were not happy with the direction of the administration, of the president's decisions, president's legislation, executive decisions, etc. They were angry. So they were on the tarmac, waving their swords, protesting. And as I have re-examined that dream several times, I've asked myself, okay, they didn't have electric lights? Why? I don't know why. But they had torches. And they had swords in their hands. What does a sword represent? It represents several things. In the spiritual realm, it represents the word of God. In the non-spiritual realm, it represents the words of an enemy. It's metaphorical. It means the waving of threats. Folks, I've prayed about it. I've asked God to show me. And I'm still seeking. But one thing I've wondered is, did they have swords because they no longer had handguns, firearms? Was this event so far in the future where at some point guns will be taken away from Americans? Does it mean a gun grab's going to happen? No matter how much people want to stop it, it's going to happen? These are the questions I ask. What were their intentions? Were they protesting with their swords just to look threatening, and was that it? Well, they didn't try to get on the plane. They were just staying on the tarmac. Of course, there were Secret Service agents stopping them from getting on the plane, so they couldn't do it. So it was a number of people protesting with their swords. The other part of the dream that I can share, and again, folks, there's a major part that I can't share, but in the dream, I was one of the Secret Service agents. And I was standing right in front of the president. He was cowering in the corner inside the plane with his hands over his head, shaking in fear. He didn't want anyone to hurt him. And I, in the dream, was a Secret Service agent. And I was protecting him. Well, why is that odd, Nathan? Well, here's why. Because I was protecting him against most of the other Secret Service agents who were trying to get to him. I was fighting them off. So what does that mean? What it tells me is there were agents that were supposed to protect the president that were trying to get to him and hurt him. So I have to ask this question. If this prophetic glimpse is literal, how could that happen? What would that mean? Well, what it would mean is possibly an inside coup of some sort where the Secret Service is divided and some of them will keep their oath no matter what. And by the way, folks, that's the way it's supposed to be. You swear an oath as an agent. Whoever is in the office, that's his job to protect him. And that's what I was doing because that's the way it's supposed to be. The office must be protected. But in the dream, there were other agents trying to get to him. And so is it possible, ladies and gentlemen? And this is the part I don't understand. And of course, who am I supposed to ask, right? Am I supposed to call the U.S. Treasury and say, I had a dream that some of the Secret Service agents were mad at the president and wanted to hurt him, and I was the hero? I was protecting them. So you need to check out your agents, your Secret Service guys, and make sure that they're all in the up and up, and make sure that they have the right intentions. Make sure they're not planning an inside coup of some sort. Folks, do you see why this is difficult to talk about? By the way, to the boiler room listener of the NSA or CIA or whoever, if you're listening to this program, I had a dream about it. That was it. I know nothing else beyond that. Zero. By the way, folks, I believe this too. I believe it's our duty to pray for the leader in power. And I know that's not a popular thing to say. Nathan, I don't like him. I can't pray for him. Well, pray for his office. Pray for the orderly protection of his office. Can you pray that way, folks? Pray that God will delay. Pray that God will protect the office so that we can have another election, so that things don't get weird. Pray that there would not be a coup. Pray that God would hold it together. You know, folks, it's okay to pray like that. That doesn't mean that you approve of everything Obama does, because I don't. I do not like the direction he's taken this country. But again, folks, God's allowing it. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that would say, I am so against Obama that I couldn't pray for him, I'm not saying that you have to approve of what he's doing. But here's what I am saying. I'm saying that God allowed him to be in office. God's sovereign. Folks, do you think that he came into power and slipped through God's fingers and God said on the day after the election, oops, how did that happen? Hey, angels, how did that happen? How did he get in? How did he win? That's not how it happens, folks. God is sovereign. He's the king of the earth, the king of kings, the king of the universe, the ancient of days. He plucks, he plants, he builds up, he brings down, he judges, and he uses human agency to do it. So as Americans, I believe that it's our conscientious duty to respect the office and see the office as something that God has ordained, allows, and decides according to his will. It's interesting, folks, that when Daniel addressed the kings that he served, he would address them by saying, O king, live forever. It was a way to show respect. And these are the kings of Babylon we're talking about. And Babylon was very paganistic, very satanic, very evil. They worshiped false gods. And Daniel's entire career was under the heavy thumb of Babylon. And when Daniel addressed the king, he said, O king, live forever. So Daniel showed respect to the king. Why am I saying that? Because I believe that the office of the presidency is something that we can respect. So with a clear conscience, yes, we can talk about how unhappy we are with the decrees and the mandates that Obama does. But at the same time, we can respect the office. So that doesn't mean we have to agree with it. So in my dream, I was protecting the president and I didn't want to see harm come to him. One of the mysteries that I'm saying out loud is, Why were there members of the Secret Service trying to harm him? The only thing that I can gather from that is a coup attempt was taking place. And I'll leave it at that, folks. So if some of you may hear this information that I'm sharing and it may spark something that you know about, then let it be on record that the Holy Spirit revealed this to Nathan Leal on April the 7th, that something like this could take place in the future of America. Now, if the Secret Service agents coming against the president were a metaphoric, symbolic thing where it just means that they're not happy with him, then that's good too, right, folks? But to see a coup take place, I can't think of anything worse that would cause a fracturing of this country. Because it might be possible that at some point, you know, folks, I have to believe that there are old-fashioned, God-fearing, constitutional-loving enlisted men and women, and God-fearing oath keepers, God-fearing deputy sheriffs, who do not like the direction of the country. And I know that there are God-fearing veterans, and even God-fearing members of the Secret Service, CIA, NSA, who also do not like the direction that this country is going in. And is it possible that at some point it's going to come to the butting of heads and clashing between the old school and the new? Is that possible? And if it does happen here in America, what will be the outcome? Because I didn't see the outcome in my dream. I just saw myself defending him. So if that was a little glimpse, I don't know when the timeline was. I don't know what caused the events, but if the timeline was into the future far enough where the people no longer had firearms, when is that going to happen? What would cause that to happen? But here's the thing that's interesting, folks. These four dreams that I had all occurred on the same night, one after the other. So it stands to reason that they're all related. And the chain of events that allowed the next dream to follow the dream that was before it were very pivotal. So the first dream had to do with an ambush, patriots. So in the future, we're going to have an uprising with patriots. And then in the next one, there's a war, an uprising of patriots against the government. And then the third one was the trains that got derailed. And those things are coming. We're going to talk about that. And then number four, we saw people without weapons, without firearms. And we saw a coup attempt. Wow, Nathan, that's a lot of heavy-duty stuff. I know, folks. That's why I've been wrestling with this. When could something like this take place? Could it be soon? And that's the thing that I don't know. God just said, warn the people. Share it. Now, I'm going to go into detail of what God showed me, and then we're going to talk about some of the derailed trains that have happened worldwide. It looks like we're running out of time, though, on this part. So this is going to be the end of part one. Please go to the next part of this program where you can continue already in progress.